Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, if you have your Bible with you tonight. Don't you love it when a preacher calls out a text that you know just has a lot of genealogies in it? There's not only the genealogies that are listed here in the first part of the chapter, but there's some other things as well, maybe some small nuggets. And what we find is that the Christmas story begins in this passage. Christmas narratives are found in the first two chapters of Matthew as well as the first two chapters of Luke. Be interesting to be able to somehow calculate how many times these Christmas narratives have been read in our lifetimes. Individually and then collectively would probably be astounding. We've read these passages, these verses over and over again. And we will probably, very likely, read them one or more times yet this year. You read them in your homes, you'll probably read them at least once sometime during this Christmas season. And I know that we're still a few weeks away from Christmas Day itself, but we begin to focus on it. Seems like earlier and earlier in the retail world. Why can't we focus on it early as well in our religious world? We love the stories. We love the beauty of the stories. We love the excitement, the thrill of its meaning. Perhaps for some people, they might even say that they love the romance of the Christmas narratives. We love the story of the star and the magi with their gifts. We love the part of the story where the angelic choir visits the lowly, easily forgotten shepherds of the wilderness. We love the part where these lowly shepherds suddenly have a keen interest in seeing this newborn child. While we think about the Christmas narratives, we also learn and hear a lot about Mary. Mary was this sweet, humble, righteous young lady who her cousin said of her, "Blessed art thou, Mary, among women." A lot of good things are said about Mary. But what about Joseph? What about this man that finds his little role in the midst of all this story? I want us to look briefly at this man who had a very important involvement, although may have been quiet, may have been small, insignificant in the life of Christ. And tonight I want to look at this subject or this part of Joseph that would bring about probably an exclamation of, "Poor Joseph." Not poor in the sense of being on the lower end of the economic scale, although he probably was on that bottom side. He probably wasn't necessarily considered to be poverty stricken, but on the lower end of the economic scale, he possibly was down there somewhere. I don't know exactly. It seems to me like as a carpenter, he could have had decent work. But poor Joseph. The word poor here signifying a feeling of being sorry for him, a little bit of compassion for him. Poor Joseph. Because what about those shocking words that came to him? Joseph was pledged to marry Mary. This engagement was so binding that the only way for it to be broken was through the same means of breaking a marriage, divorce. It was not a simple thing. It was an ordeal, rightfully so. Marriage shouldn't be taken lightly. It shouldn't be dissolved. This engagement that he was a part of, this pledging or espousal in that day was just as binding as what the marriage was. And in order to break it, they had to go through that same process of divorce. Mary is his promised or his pledged wife. And she had received an angelic announcement and a visitation from an angel and an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Now that's wonderful. That's marvelous. Mary received this angelic announcement and overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. But we find that Joseph, in the midst of all that beauty for Mary, received the worst news of his life. It makes it a little bit easier to understand then, as we look at that, the statement that I made, poor Joseph. Poor guy. I don't mean to laugh, it's not funny at all. He was stricken. The worst news is what he received while Mary was receiving all this great stuff, the grandeur of the experience. Suppose that this announcement that came to Joseph was a severe shock to his entire system. I have no idea how to even begin to try to describe what he surely felt inside. You know, did his skin begin to cringe? Did his heart literally begin to hurt? Was his pulse rate increasing? Did his blood pressure go up? Did his face turn red with anxiety? Did he have a headache coming on? I don't know what we could liken it to, but I can only begin to imagine that it was a severe shock to his system. Poor Joseph. But here's the point that I want us to get a hold of this evening in the life of Joseph. God did not get his approval before acting. God did not get his approval before acting. Imagine it. God says, Joseph, here's my plan. And since you are connected because of this espousal agreement with Mary, I wanted to run it by you and see what you had to think about it. Didn't happen. It did not happen that way. You see, what happens here is that God drafted Joseph into a difficult position. He drafted him. It means that he reached out and got a hold of Joseph and said, you, young man, are going to be a part of this plan, and it's not going to be easy on you. You say, oh, well, wait a minute now. He chose Mary. It just so happened that Joseph was a part. Now, let's be careful about how much we separate God's ideas and plans. Is it not reasonable to understand that God brought the two of them together long before Mary ever knew that this was to take place? That it was the plan of God to bring these two individuals together, knowing that Mary was the chosen for that side and that Joseph was drafted for this side. I believe that that is the only way that we can understand what has taken place, but for us to grasp that God drafted Joseph into a difficult position. As we grasp the point, we would have to ask ourselves, or hear the question at least asked to us, would God the Almighty ever call on us? Would He draft us for some intensely difficult position? You say, preacher, this is Christmas season. This is a joyous occasion. But let's look at the characters that are involved with the Christmas narrative. And Joseph is certainly divinely appointed to be a part or to have a part. Now, realistically, our reaction would probably be very similar to Joseph's. I imagine that we would have that similar reaction. You know, what was Joseph's reaction? If we put it into our terms, our words, it would go something like this. Okay, where's the exit? Isn't that what he did? Isn't that what he said? Okay, where's the exit? How can I get out of this? Help me run. Let me hide. Let me escape. That's what he was doing. You look at it, you follow it, you see what's taking place here. That was his intent. Get me out of here. I don't want to be a part of this. This is dangerous. This is not conducive to well living. I'm not going to be successful in my business any longer. This is it. It's over. Joseph said, in so many words, where's the exit? A man by the name of Ray Hollenbach is the one that got me started thinking about Joseph. And he said that, have we ever considered the implications of God's sovereignty? Have we ever considered the implications of God's sovereignty? That God, in his sovereignty, as we say that we belong to him, and acknowledging that we belong to him, are we saying that we are willing to be drafted even as Joseph was, without God getting our approval? It's a sobering thought, if nothing else, that we are such a piece of clay in his hand that he is capable of molding us and shaping us into whatever vessel he wants. Whatever vessel he makes out of us is to be used according to his intended plan and purpose. And we say that all things work together for our good as we belong to him and as we trust in him and all that sort of thing. But do we really believe that as God allows or he drafts us into difficult positions that we can say, thy will be done, Lord? Poor Joseph. But as we look at it from this vantage point, maybe we could change it from poor Joseph to wow, Joseph. Because we see that Joseph allowed himself to be molded by the hand of the sovereign. It's a beautiful narrative, the Christmas narratives. It's a wonderful story. But then we get a closer look at this man, this little portion, this small, seemingly insignificant part, to realize that God drafted him, but that we too, as God would draft us to do something for him, we can say, yes, Lord, here it is. Oh, poor me. No. How about, wow, Joseph? Let's stand together tonight. You read that little portion of the narrative about Joseph. Lord willing, next Sunday night we'll be looking at another nugget of his life. Not only that God didn't ask him for permission, get his permission, but he drafted him. We will be looking a little bit further Just a couple of verses there for homework. It's nothing major. But you look at it. Verses 8 and 9. You can include 7 if you really get ambitious. Wild Joseph. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. Amen. Trust you have a good week this week. God's blessings and help and presence. Praise the Lord. Janae, would you dismiss us in prayer? Mm-hmm.